If you want to be a Christian and follow Jesus, you have to say, I recognize my old sinful ways. I want you to reclaim me, Lord, as your own. But in order to do that, I understand I can't be out sinning it up and partying down. And there needs to be sort of this understanding that, man, he saved me. And that's what James talks about. You're not saved by your works, your good works. We're saved by the grace of God through faith. That's such a beautiful thing.
Pastor Brett Metter clarifying how redemption is a work of God.
And anyone who will accept that redemption can be saved.
Hosea chapter 3 reveals a powerful picture of God's redeeming love. Despite Gomer's unfaithfulness, Hosea is commanded to love his wife, mirroring God's steadfast love not just for Israel, but for all of us. In today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter reflects on how God's love is rooted in mercy, not merit. And it's through Hosea's obedience we'll see the depth of God's grace and love.
Now, one of the things about the Old Testament is, I've said it a million times, you know, it's a picture book of New Testament truth. And such is the case with Hosea. The book of Hosea is speaking of God's agape love for not only Israel, the Jews of Israel, but also his love for you and for me. And it's this amazing, beautiful picture of even in our ugliest of uglies, the Lord still loves us that much. It's an amazing story, and it's kind of got a dark side to it, but it's got this beautiful light at the end that I think is so cool. So what's the deal? Well, we start with Hosea the prophet. He's a young prophet, pretty well known. Then the Lord says, hey, Hosea, I got a lesson I want you to do. What is it you want me to do? I want you to get married. Oh, can do. But here's the catch, Hosea. I want you to go down into the red light district of town, and I want you to find there's a prostitute there, and I want you to marry her. You want me to marry a prostitute? Yep. Worse still, her name is Gomer. And then your marriage, Hosea, with Gomer is going to be a picture of my love for Israel. How you're going to love Gomer is the way I love Israel, and you're going to be a picture. Well, sure enough, they consummate their marriage, and she becomes pregnant, and they give birth to a son. They call the name of the son, and this is a name that, you know, you and I go, oh, whatever, his name was Jezreel, whatever. The word Jezreel was sort of a word, had a negative connotation associated with it. What does Jezreel mean? It means scattered or cast away. And it's because Israel was evil, they were gonna be scattered and cast away for a season. That's part of God's plan for Israel, to scatter them. It's called the diaspora, the scattering of the Jews. And that would happen. God would judge Israel and scatter them for a couple thousand years. You wouldn't wanna name a child that, but that's what they named their child because God told them to, Jezreel. Well, then the story gets more sad with Hosea. Because eventually Gomer longs for the good old days when she was sleeping around town and was able to have sex with other men. And so she's unfaithful to her husband and she goes and starts sleeping around. She wants clothes and jewelry and the finer things. And Hosea's not really able to provide all of that for her. So she goes to her lovers, we read in chapter 2, looking for food and clothes and wealth and stuff. But she found that those lovers, the more she slept around, the more unhappy she was. That's the truth with sin. She even finds herself saying, oh, I remember when I was with Hosea, at least I was happier then. She acknowledged that. But while she's sleeping around town, she becomes pregnant again. And this is probably, most scholars agree, it's not Hosea's child, somebody else's child. And the second child is a little girl. And so they name her Lo-Ruhamah. God tells them, name her Lo-Ruhamah. What does Lo-Ruhamah mean? It means no mercy. So God says, I'm gonna scatter you, Jezreel, Israel. That's the first child. Lo-Ruhamah, you're gonna have no mercy from me. And then she becomes pregnant and has a third child, again, probably not Hosea's, but they name that little child Lo-Ami. That little boy's name means not my people. Like these are the names God told Gomer and Hosea to name their children. So this picture is Hosea's like the father in heaven who loves his bride, the Jews, but they've adulterated themselves. The Jews have committed fornication with other gods and goddesses and they've forsaken the God that loves them. And the fruit of that is no mercy, you're not my people, and I'm gonna scatter you. It's a picture. So rather than Hosea, like many of the prophets, thundering in the streets, you know, repent, you know, turn to the Lord, all that. Now Hosea is this living illustration as people snicker as he walks down the road and they say, that's the guy, the prophet whose wife's a prostitute. And instead of thundering, he's walking down the street with tears flowing, brokenhearted. And the people say, what's up with that? And Hosea is saying, even as you see my heart broken by Gomer, this is the heart that the Lord has for you. His heart is broken by you. Like, this is an amazingly powerful picture that Hosea the prophet's presenting to the people of Israel. And that's his message. What a heartbreak it must have been. Well, as she continued to leave Hosea, Hosea would always, like we read in chapter 2, try to woo her back. Oh, come back, be my wife. But she'd say, no way, Hosea. I'm not gonna be your wife. And she kept staying with these dudes, you know, and hoping these guys would give her wealth. But the problem is, she started becoming older and more undesirable, and she started to not be really worth anything in the minds of those men that were once her lovers. And she finds herself where nobody wants her anymore. And she finds herself in debt. So what do you do in Bible times when you're in debt and you can't pay your money? Well, you can't file chapter 11. They didn't have that back then. What they had is a thing called debtor's prison. And the way that worked is if you owed a debt that you could not pay, they would throw you in prison and say, you gotta pay your bill. And so hopefully you'd have loving family members who'd come and pay your bill. But if you didn't, they didn't have like a bunch of prison and ping pong tables and cable TV. They said, man, we only got like one prison cell. So if you can't pay, or if your family's not gonna pay, we're gonna sell you on the slave market where you'll be a slave. And this is where Gomer finds herself now. She's broke, nobody wants her, and she's too prideful to try to go back to Hosea. And so she ends up in prison, and then now she's on the slave market. If you read the history, she is probably in chains, stripped naked, probably old, decrepit, and diseased. It's about as low as anybody could ever get. And here, you know, Gomer finds herself with no help at all. And the Lord says, Hosea, I've got another task for you. I want you to go down to the market, the slave market. And that's where we pick up here in Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. Now, you know me, I love the King James Bible because it's a beautiful translation. I think it's poetic. It's very accurate in so many ways. But once in a while, I have to admit, there's verses like, ouch, that's a tougher way to translate that verse. Let me show you the NIV of the same verse because it does bring a little clarity what's being said. The Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again, though she's loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. Huh? Raisin cakes? When did Fig Newtons come into this whole thing? Actually, raisin cakes, you know, in the King James, it says a flagon of wine. That sounds much more, you know, biblical, a flagon of wine. What's this whole raisin cake? Well, do you guys remember? What was Gomer's dad's name? His name was, you know, this kind of funny name, Diblaim. And all the names in the book of Hosea mean stuff that's important. But you got this funny name, Diblaim, and I'd looked that up and it says two cakes. That's what Diblaim means. Gomer's dad was Mr. Two Cakes. As it turns out, when you'd go to worship Baal in Bible times, one of the most sacred things you could do in that paganism was to bring two raisin cakes and offer them to Baal and the prophets of Baal. That was part of Baal worship. So Gomer was born to a dad that was Mr. Baal worship. That's the idea. He was a pagan. That's Mr. Two Cakes. And then here it says, show love to Israel as the Lord loves Israel, though they turn to other gods and they love the sacred raisin cakes. We're talking about their Baal worshipers is the idea. So all that said, here's the Lord saying, Hosea, man, I want you to go and love your wife, even though she's messed up, tweaked out, in debt, on the slave market. And how are you gonna love her? You're gonna buy her. You're gonna buy her. Look at verse 2. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. A homer for Gomer. Now you laugh at that thinking, Brad, come on, stop being silly. No, this is, the book of Hosea is, it's funny how by the Holy Spirit, Hosea uses plays on words the whole time. And it's kind of funny to me, a homer for Gomer, what is this about? Well, as it turns out, do you know how much a typical slave in those days would go for? It's about 30 pieces of silver. Well, then why did he pay 15? Well, he paid half of the price with 15 pieces of silver, but guess how much a homer and a half was worth? Anybody want to guess? 15 pieces of silver. If you wanted to buy a homer and a half of barley, you'd have to pay 15 pieces of silver. But these 30 shekels would really, it would be 15 plus the homer and a half to be freed as a slave. Now, this is such a big part of the story, and people don't really realize. Remember, God says, I'm going to scatter you, Jezreel, Lo Ruhamah, no mercy for you, Lo Hamah, which means, you know, you're not my people. But now the Lord's saying in chapter 3, but I'm going to take you back, and I'm going to love you. Did you know Paul the Apostle reaches back to the book of Hosea? In the book of Romans, he quotes Hosea, and you might miss it, and I'll tell you why. Because the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, 270 BC, the way they turned the name from Hosea, and then when it was translated to Greek, they would pronounce it O-C, Hosea, O-C. And that's why you might miss it. If you read Romans chapter 9, it says this, as he saith in O-C, which is Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. When Paul writes the commentary, chapters 9, 10, and 11, on God's plan and purpose for the Jewish people, it's part of this thing where we have to understand God is not done with the Jews. He loves the Jews. He has a plan and a purpose for the Jews. Don't ever forget that. Brett, you've told us that 1,000 times. I'm going to say it more and more because there's too many churches that think God's done with the Jews and that the church has replaced Israel. Just read Romans 9, 10, 11. You cannot believe that if you read Romans 9, 10, 11. And he reaches to the story of Gomer and Hosea saying, hey, don't forget, even as Hosea took back his prostitute wife, so too the Lord's going to take back, restore, and love his wife Israel, even though they were, you know, pagans flying in the face of the true and living God. But God says, but I'm still going to call them my children. Agape, love. You see, this is where we start seeing the agape love in the story. Let me break this down to three things. First of all, number one, a redeeming love. A redeeming love. We see that in verse 2. The word redemption is a doctrinal word that we use. It's a financial term. It means payment to buy back something, to redeem. When I was a little kid, my mom used to save those green chip stamps or whatever they were called. And it was really fun because every time we went shopping, she'd get all these little stamps and then stick them in a booklet. And then you bring your little books into, guess what they called it? Redemption Center. And what it was, you could bring those little books in and you could redeem the chip stamps for something that you wanted in the little store there. It was kind of like a little prize center for redemption stamps. Redemption Center. Well, do you understand that that's a financial term, redeeming? The Lord says, I want to redeem you. I love you so much. You sold out to sin. You owe a debt that you cannot pay. The debt that you owe puts you not in slavery, but in death and hell for all eternity. But I paid your price. I've redeemed you. And how did he do that? Well, let me give you a few really cool redemption scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Does God run out of grace? No. He's rich in grace. And he wants to redeem you with his blood that he spilled on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus came, God became a man, lived among us, died on the cross for our sins. And Christ, who he was redeeming us through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's what redemption is. He paid the price for you. Just like Hosea paid Gomer's price so that she could be free. You and I were saved by the redeeming work of God through the precious blood of Jesus who died on the cross. And anyone who will accept that redemption can be saved from the slavery of sin and death. So you got number one, a redeeming love we see here. And that's verses 1 and 2, the redeeming love. In verse 3 now of our chapter, we see the second thing, a reclaiming kind of love. Check it out, verse 3. So after he pays the 15 silver pieces and the barley and a half, homer, verse 3, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So I will also be for thee. You see, Gomer has a choice to make right now. She can say, nope, I don't want to be saved by you, Hosea. That'd be stupid. But she didn't do that. You might be tempted to say, well, why does Hosea have all these thou shalt nots and these rules? Some of you kind of think God's got all these brutal rules for you. And you're like, who does God think he is saying you can or thou shalt not? Well, that's what Hosea is saying here. Thou shalt not sleep with other men. Thou shalt not have anybody but me as your husband, and I will be your husband for you. That's what he says. He says, thou shalt abide with me many days. The idea is for the rest of your days. And thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. You think Gomer's like, what a legalistic weirdo. Do you think that's what she said? What a legalist. No, he was rescuing her from certain doom. I'm sure at this point of her life, she's saying, man, I can't believe you're buying me back. I'll do whatever you want me to do. That's where you have to be as a Christian. If you want to be a Christian and follow Jesus, you have to say, I recognize my old sinful ways. And that's what repentance is all about. You have to say, I want you to reclaim me, Lord, as your own. But in order to do that, I understand, I can't be out just sinning it up and partying down. And there needs to be sort of this understanding that, man, he saved me. And that's what James talks about. You're not saved by your works, your good works, but faith that works does bring about salvation. You know, while Paul says you're saved by grace through faith, not of your works, not of yourselves, it's a gift from God. That's true. James says, but faith without works is dead. And that's where we kind of see this actually pictured in the Old Testament. He's saving her by paying her price. She didn't earn it. She didn't deserve it. She's being saved. But after she's saved, the Lord says to her or to Israel or to us, yeah, but you can't be a prostitute anymore. You can't go around sleeping around and you can't, I will be your husband. But I love that the Lord says, I reclaim you as my bride. And while Israel was the wife of God, the adulterous wife, you and I are called the bride of Christ. So as we're the bride of Christ, we're a work in progress for that day when we're married to Christ, and that's gonna come, but we're saved by the grace of God through faith. That's such a beautiful thing. So we have this reclaiming love, verse 3. But that brings us to the last sort of observation of this agape love. It's a redeeming love, a reclaiming love, but thirdly, it's a restoring love. He wants to restore and bless. All the mess ups and all the stuff you've done, the grotesque things, the Lord says, I want to restore you back to good standing. Now, for Israel, that's going to take a long process. Because the last two verses, verses 4 and 5, we see here where the Lord has some bad news and then some good news. The bad news is bad, but the good news is way better. What do you mean? Well, let's read verses 4 and 5. He starts out with the bad news in verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Now pause there for a second. This is a time where Israel will not have a king, no temple to put sacrificial worship, no ephod. The ephod was the garment the priest would wear that had the stones where they could, you know, the Urim and the Thummim, if you remember that is, and they learned what to do and where to go and how to do it. The Lord says, you're not gonna have that for a long, long time. Anybody wanna know what this period or time is called? It's called the diaspora. When the Jews were driven out of Jerusalem and they no longer had a temple and an ephod and a priest and sacrifice. And to this day, the Jews in Jerusalem would love to have a temple. They'd love to bring back the sacrificial system, but they can't. Why? Islam has the Temple Mount. You got the Dome of the Rock Shrine and the, you know, the Al-Aqsa Mosque there in the on the Temple Mount, and you've got trouble in Israel, and there's no way, but there's coming a day, the Lord says, I'm gonna scatter you, that's Jezreel, and you're not gonna be my people, and you're not gonna have mercy, that's verse 4. But then there's coming a day when I'm gonna redeem you, I'm gonna restore you. I'm gonna reclaim you as my bride. This is the Lord now speaking directly to Israel. No longer are we talking about Hosea and Gomer. Verses 4 and 5 goes right to Israel. So Israel, just like Hosea and Gomer, that's the picture. Now, I'm gonna scatter you for a long, long time, for several thousand years. You and I are a privileged bunch who get to see prophecy unfold right in front of our eyes. As the last, you know, 100 years, we've watched Jews migrate back to Israel and become a nation again. That's God regathering his people. Fulfilling Bible prophecy. Afterward, verse 5, shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. When you see that in the King James Bible, in the latter days, it's equivalent of saying in the end times. This is the Lord saying, I'm gonna scatter you for a long, long time, but there's coming a day in the latter days, in the end times, I'm gonna regather and I'm gonna restore and I'm gonna redeem you, Israel, after the abomination of desolation, and the Jews will be their eyes will be opened and they'll run to the Petra and be saved. And this is Hosea the prophet talking about that time when Israel will be redeemed and restored and reclaimed as God's people. That's gonna happen. That's what this beautiful story is about. It's not only about Israel and God's love, agape love, unconditional, beautiful love that God has for this kind of wretched, miserable people. Guess what? The Lord has that same kind of love for you and me, wretched, miserable people that we are. Sinners who've messed up, and that same restoring, redeeming, reclaiming kind of love. You might say, Brett, you don't understand. I'm the worst person in this world and nobody loves me and God doesn't love me. And I'm sure he's mad at me. Nope. Not if you read your Bible. The Lord does acknowledge that you're a sinner and you messed up and all that. But the Lord says, but I still love you. I love you as a father loves his children. I love you as a husband loves his wife. Like, it's an amazing thing that the Lord says, but I wanna reclaim you and redeem you. And the question is, have you been reclaimed? Or are you the stiff-necked Gomer, just running away from God? I don't want God's love. I can do this myself. Well, that's a very Gomer mindset. Are you really willing to reject the love of God, this agape, unconditional love that God has for you? The Lord says, oh, I would that none should perish. God loves the world so much, he wants no one to perish, but that everyone would come to repentance and that everyone would have eternal life. That's the heart of God. But God will not force you. If God is love, he won't send people to hell. He is love and he's wooing you. He's trying to draw you away from hell. But as a human, you and I, we have this magnetism toward hell. We just want to go there because we like our sin way too much. But then the older you get and the more your sin has eaten you up, you realize, oops, I've chosen poorly. But I'll tell you, no matter how bad you've been, the Lord's still there just wooing you, saying, man, I'd love you to come to me and I'll forgive you for your sin and you'll be forgiven. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It just means you're going to be forgiven. Just like old Gomer there on the slave market, there's a point in your life where you just have to give up and say, okay, Lord, I'm yours. Repent of your sins and be saved by the grace of God.
Pastor Brett Menter draws to a close a verse-by-verse look into Hosea chapter 3, revealing the love of God that restores rather than rejects, and a divine willingness to forgive and reclaim. And you're listening to Today's Word. I hope you'll stick around as Pastor Brett will be back to close in prayer in just a moment. But first, our teacher, Brett Menter, is the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church just outside of Portland, Oregon. Brett's been the pastor at Athey Creek for almost 30 years, where the church has grown into one of the largest in the Pacific Northwest. Each day, Pastor Brett will give you an in-depth study of God's Word. If you've missed any portion of our time today, you can find all of his messages online at todayswordradio.com. I also want to mention that in addition to the main Athey Creek campus in West Lynn, we also have locations in Hillsboro and McMinnville, Oregon. For more information, go to todayswordradio.com and click on the link Locations. Again, todayswordradio.com and click the link Locations. Well, to conclude today's message, here again is Pastor Brett Menter.
Let's bow our heads and close in prayer. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful for your love, your agape love. Lord, the love that the world has no idea how beautiful and perfect it is. For the Christians here, Lord, we have two prayers. One, help us to love people like you love us. Help us to be filled with agape like you have for us, unconditional love for people. But Lord, also as Christians, help us to just rejoice of what you've done for us, that you took a bride for yourself that's not so attractive from our perspective, but you loved us all the same. Unconditional, beautiful, sacrificial love. Bless your people today. Help us to just be full of joy knowing you love us that much. But for the person who's yet to accept your love, I pray that you just, as you do, Lord, you spiritually sort of tap people on the shoulder. And they know that you're wooing them and trying to draw them to your love. But Lord, whatever it is that's holding them back, I pray that you just lift up those barriers, lift up those goofy reasons that keep people from your everlasting love. And may they just be open to the idea of just repenting of their sin and being forgiven of their sin, being saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Pastor Brett Menter on Today's Word. And that's all the time we have. Next time, Pastor Brett will share another verse-by-verse study in the book of Hosea. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.